Good morning. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. It's Monday, August 20th, 2018, and we end at 1:30 today. You can send your messages to us via WhatsApp, 266-4862. That's one method. Of course, you can email your thoughts to us as well, brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. And you can call us at 4341-790. Well, first of all, this morning, we want to extend best wishes to the Education Minister, Ms. Sandy Bradshaw, who has gone public in revealing that she has breast cancer and took what is, in the context of Barbados, the most unusual step of actually going before a branch meeting of the ruling Barbados Labour Party yesterday and making that announcement. This is a country where very often people in public life who are facing these types of challenges tend to keep it to themselves and try to be private. On this occasion, we have seen her take a position which is consistent with the openness which is being espoused by Prime Minister Mia Motley and the Barbados Labour Party administration. It's one of those moves that will provoke different opinions and different thoughts. And that's why Brass Tacks is here. It is here to give you the opportunity to discuss it, to look at what you see as the pros and cons. Does it open up a whole new approach to how we should treat with the private lives of individuals? But beyond that, we also have got some comments which were made by the Prime Minister yesterday. And one of the observations which she made had to do with the proper way of doing government business. I want you to hear exactly what the Prime Minister had to say in that regard. And therefore, I'm going to give it to you in two bites, which would basically set the stage for today's discussion on Down to Brass Tacks. Here's what Prime Minister Motley had to say about what she considers to be the proper way of doing government business, and more specifically, the way that her administration is not going to be operating.
I know that the people and the political class that will pay the ultimate and bigger price, regrettably, is not the one that go along about the business, like how Steve Blackett said, he done with that. He realized the people done with him. But the class that will pay the ultimate price is this one. It's this cabinet of mine. And I'm happy to say that they are equal to the challenge, because we are not going to allow inappropriate or improper behavior, because you are smelling too much hell in this country for the cents that you pay in taxes to be misused by people who don't do or will not do good by the oath or by the obligations that we expect of them. And I want to repeat it, because there are private sector people in this country who believe that the government has not changed. And I want them to understand that that behavior will not be accepted by my government. A group went overseas to be able to look at secondhand trucks pursuant to a board paper. And a certain car company's representatives happened to be at every single location that the group that went representing the Sanitation Services Authority went to. And when the Attorney General and I found out, we told the minister, tell them come home the next day. Because I need to know how a private sector group that was not part of the cabinet paper could be there at every location. And the minister and I and the AG have agreed that that is not the kind of government that we want to run. It may be coincidence. If it is coincidence, then they should buy the lotto ticket and win millions of dollars, not here, but in Florida or New York. But if it is not coincidence, it is not a stain that is going to be put on my minister or my cabinet or my government.
So that's part of what
the Joint Select Committee on
heard from Prime Minister Motley. She spoke at the St. Michael's Southeast branch of the Barbados Labour Party last evening. There are a couple of questions which are still to be answered about that particular matter, about how, about the presence of this private sector, these private sector representatives at every step of the way that the representatives of this SSA were engaging with companies in Britain. And in my own investigation, there is a strong suggestion that the presence of the private sector interests from Barbados would have meant a significant increase in the price of these vehicles if the government pursued that particular approach. Question is, how widespread has this been in the procurement of government's goods and services over the years? That, to my mind, is the most important question coming out of this. And what price have the Barbadian taxpayers had to pay for these types of arrangements? That's one question which I think we would all want to have answered more than anything else. You want it to stop. And you know that in all of these things, one hand don't clap. Okay. Now, the next point which was raised for your discussion as well comes to this whole question of the conventions, the way in which we are supposed to do things or thought we were supposed to do things, and how they have been changing. Here she speaks about that particular issue. Let's hear it.
March 2010 was the last month that they benefited from a pay increase. As long as they were not getting it, the members of the Barbados Labour Party parliamentary team refused to take the 10% that the Democratic Labour Party government took back and kept every single cent for themselves. And then we're going to have people writing errant nonsense, talking about ministers giving themselves a pay increase. Who going to count 26 out of 26,500? And even if they did, I want them to also talk about the Tiffin. Because if we can talk about that, then we will have a conversation. And then we can talk about who else we need to go and look for. And then we can talk about ethics. Because I don't know, and Santi, let me say this, and Billy, let me say this, you were a minister of education. I was one. Santi, you are one. I do not know how you can issue licenses for people to conduct and have universities operating in this country 1 month, 1 year, and within less than weeks you are now a vice chancellor at the university walking about India seeking to get students. Have we no shame? Have we no shame? And that is the question that I wanted them to ask themselves last Sunday as they met in George Street. Because if they had asked themselves that question, then they would have been forced to tell Mr. Jones, we don't think that it sends the right signal for you to be walking about the billion people in India and being broadcast to them, saying that just a few weeks ago, you were Minister of Education But you are now vice chancellor of something called the Bridgetown. You could have really even called it a different name. You had to remind people that that kind of behavior comes from Barbados. Bridgetown International University, in circumstances where you had cause to be part of a process with them as Minister of Education. And even if you didn't, the appearance is bad. That is why institutions, and we will have now to formally put it in place, Bree St. John, God bless you wherever you are. Bree St. John once told me when I was young, he said, Motley girl, a time is going to come when, because people have different values in that, and he pointed inside the chamber of parliament, that things that we take for granted as what people will do because of out of convention, out of what people expect them to do, you are going to have to pass laws to require them to behave in a certain way, because the conventions will no longer be strong enough to get them to do the right thing. And he's right. We are going to have, as a country, and I'm glad that the Attorney General is here, we are going to have, as a country, to be able to pass laws now and have a code of conduct that prohibits ministers from going and acting in certain types of businesses within 3 to 5 years after they leave holding a ministry, so that the country can have the confidence that a person is not serving their own interests while making decisions in the name of the taxpayers of this country. We are going to have to pass what in England they call purdah, laws that prohibit government from acting in and entering into certain contracts when an election has been called.
That's Prime Minister Mia Motley speaking last evening. And I want to get your own thoughts on this, because remember, for every position that is taken, there is at least another position that comes in opposition to that, an alternative view. And, you know, you can say, yes, you're going to pass legislation that prohibits ministers from holding certain positions for a period. But I have also, over the years, heard former ministers say how difficult it has been, having served in government, that Barbados is not like the United States and Britain, where you can then sit on the boards of major companies. Indeed, in many instances, people who have sat as ministers of government and senior politicians, they tend to be shunned by the private sector. So I'm sure that there is that alternative perspective now as to where would that put the future of those people, while at the same time trying to balance that concern against the concern of those who say, but if you were a minister yesterday and you helped facilitate somebody set up a company in Barbados, how is it that you can then be working for them almost immediately after? This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning and welcome to the first caller.
Yeah, morning, David.
Yes, good morning.
I don't want to talk about the comments I heard with me.
You won't call now again to talk about something with transport? You're the Minister of Transport now, you know.
You done talking ignorance now, can I?
Yeah, but you know, I know what to expect.
At least you deny that it's ignorance that you're talking.
That's true. But to thine own self be true. At least I am. What about you?
every time I come about this program, my brother is be true.
Yeah, me hear you. Right? Transport
now,
Minister.
I want to talk about, I don't know if it was the front back page or the front page. Yesterday, so with that lady with that land, a 24-year rate, and nothing has been done for that lady. It is wrong. It is wrong, wrong, wrong. And I don't only think that she should be given the land in a hurry. She should be adequately compensated for going through the foolishness, because now at 63, who's going to give her a mortgage? Things should be put in place to ease her financially. This reminds me of the thing at Grant's Rickshaw, near St. James, where that lady now is not living in a comfortable home. 24 years is too long. Why are these things happening? And why we got to talk about poor people suffering? Some people criticize the system, but I notice it only happens to a certain color. And the color is black. And this is not about being racist. I have never, ever heard or read in the paper that someone of the other color going through what this woman is going through and what other black people are going through. Why? That's all I want to know. And as I say, she should be, this thing should be a rush issue, and she should be compensated for it. And I would like the Barbados Labour Party supporters to call it and back me on this.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much. You surprised me today. Down to brass tacks.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Yes, welcome.
Yes, good morning to you and good morning to the rest of management and listeners everywhere. First, I would like to make two quick points, sir. Hello?
I'm listening.
Yes, two quick points. Over time, you know, you've been hearing people complaining about Nelson's statue in town. It should be removed. It should be this. It should be dumped in the sea, etc. Now, I would like some of those same people who criticizing Nelson for Satchel for no reason to take a stroll across Crumpton Street. You know when you pass where Dale's garage was? After Dale's garage, if you're going in a south-southern direction, after Dale's garage, there's an old wall building, wall house there at the end, which is where you call Janet Street, just opposite a church. And if you pass there, sir, and you look inside that area where that house is to the front, it is in a deplorable, dirty state, filthy state. You would think that the landfill moved there, you know? And I would like these people who complain about Nelson to take a look there and go and look at Nelson's touch and tell them and tell me which one of them sites look more pleasant to the eye. You know, it right now, sir, they saw me take like a bobcat with something, a crane, we've got to lift in the bobcat in there to clean up in there and then get like a truck to park close to the wall in the gap to move all of that. That look, and then what made things worse is that person wait there for the bus stop and disembark there. So that created a problem because some people, if there were any garbage, now they would toss it in there. I mean, it looked really, really, really deplorable, you know?
You want to see some places just like that?
No,
come here
no,
to River
sir.
Road.
No, I would not. Well,
come
yes,
here
I,
to River Road, next door to the old market, and very
yes,
close to
right.
where people are selling food. It
yes,
is deplorable.
That's right. I am there with you 100%, sir. You know? And my final point, sir, is that I heard that on the calling program, they said that they are short of moderators.
Where?
You know? Sometime back, some maybe on holiday, etc.
Okay.
But in my view, sir, I think that Mr. Mark Wilson and Mr. P, they will make two good standing moderators for the time being, you know, until things could ease a bit, you know, if it is possible. Because to me, Mr. Mark Wilson have a lot of knowledge, is one of Barbados' biggest brains, and I would like to say that Mr. P is another one of Barbados' biggest brain that they can be used once it is possible that they can spend the time. Yeah. You know, that is just my recommendation.
I know one thing, even if he doesn't have as big a brain as you think, by the time you finish here today, his head would be swollen down to brass tacks.
Good day, Mr. Ali.
Yes, welcome.
Greetings and salutations to your good self. It is quite noticeable and a good sign to know that a lot of young people are getting into agriculture.
Where?
However.
Where? Where are you seeing this?
Hello?
Where are you seeing this, my friend?
I am seeing all through the country.
Oh, is that so?
Yes, definitely. However, the Minister of Agriculture and Food and Consumer Affairs should update the legislation in the absence of the lack of policing, which is allowing the big fish to get away with murder. And the coming on board with the young entrepreneurs are a lot of rules and regulations for them to follow, which can be very costly, Mr. Ellis.
Update what legislation? Stop. I just want to follow you. Can you hear me well? Because it seems that you're having a difficulty hearing.
Yes, I'm hearing you all right.
Fine. Let me ask you, because just walk with me or take me step by step. What legislation are you talking about?
No, what happened, Mr. Ellis, you suppose to throw the Barbados Standard Institute to have labels which include all ingredients that is on in the product. But what we are getting, Mr. Ellis, step for example, we know that there are certain commodities in this country with labels but not include the ingredients. Step for example, a local product called beer. And they have the guts to tell you, Mr. Ellis, that a deputy is essential, and a deputy cannot go without the sheriff. And yet, all you have on that deputy bottle, Mr. Ellis, is where the beer has been brewed and where the company is located. We have imported similar products, namely beer, Mr. Ellis. Call, let's say, for an example, Carlsberg beer. It has the ingredients, which should be water, malted barley, hops, nutrition per 100 ml entry fat, protein and carbohydrate, sugar and salt. I remember on this same station, sir, a lot of years ago when I was talking about the breathalyzer test, I said Ramon Court goes well, but yet on the Coca-Cola bottle, there is nothing to tell you what is in the Coca-Cola.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Good morning, rather.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
Yeah, I am kind of like reaching out to you this morning. I would like to know if I wanted to get in touch with a human rights organization, if I can leave my number with you all to help me. I don't know, because there's a gentleman, I don't know if it's the first gentleman that called in this morning. He was saying that he believes that Muslim women should not be able to wear the veil. And I want to agree with him, but for different reasons. Because I'm a Barbadian, I was converted to Islam by Indians. And I was told by the police that I cannot wear the veil because I'm not an Indian. And the scenario was, I was sitting down Traverse Bay. And obviously, there are tourists who pass there, you know, they come and they go from the port. And I would just raise my hand the same morning, some, you know, one or two were passing. And I looked around and I saw about five police jeeps pulled up. And five policemen surrounded me and told me to take off my veil. So I just wonder if there's any human rights, because I understand by law that my constitutional right guarantees me the right to practice my religion of choice, so long as it's not, you know, contravening any laws of the land. That makes sense?
It makes sense, and I would think that if you face this particular dilemma that you are putting before us, the first order of business is to go to the police high command.
No, sir.
You've done that?
Sir, I have had a history with the police. I spoke to a police officer.
All right.
And I asked let me
cut to the chase on this. As far as I'm concerned, police cannot or ought not to be asking.
No, let me
finish. No. Let's cut to the chase. The issue that you have put to me has to do with whether you should be allowed to wear a veil as a Muslim woman, notwithstanding the fact that you are not an Indian. No, first of all, the Indians are predominantly Hindus. It is the Pakistanis who are predominantly Muslim. But ethnicity apart, It is not about which ethnic group you belong to. It has to be whether you are entitled to practice your particular religious faith without hindrance in that way, until and unless the government of Barbados sets about doing something like what the people in France have done. They have banned things like the niqab and stuff like that. So to answer your question, it shouldn't be happening that way, but there may be more to this than meets the eye, and I don't think that we can basically pursue that here and now, okay? But if you want, you can leave your number, call the front desk and ask them to put you through to my extension and leave your number there. And if I get a response that says there is somebody or some organization that would like to help you fight this particular case, I will make your number available to them. All right? Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
I'm good, man. Listen, I want to refer back to the 24th of July in the paper where it said church targets LGBT agenda.
Mm-hmm.
But we know all about that. We know about the Pride March and so on, and only recently some project ministries were targeting the same thing. But what I wanted to just... This is my first point. I have another point. I read here where they're saying that in that article, it is an attempt to deconstruct marriage. Marriage, in my understanding, has been deconstructed already. And that starts with a divorce. Anytime that there's a divorce, marriage is deconstructed. So they need to look at divorce when they're talking about marriage being in this deconstructing. I don't see how the LGBT community, who in my understanding wants to get married, because same-sex marriage, can deconstruct marriage. Right. The other point I want to make in relation to what I heard someone was mentioning about witness protection legislation. Why would we want to have legislation to protect a witness? If you are bold enough to come out and want to be a witness, you don't need legislation to protect you. Be bold and come out and stand up and give your witness, whether it is somebody that get killed, you know, whatever is happening. You don't want the government to pass legislation to protect you. What kind of protection you want? They can't send you out to Barbados to live in America when you give a witness. So that is something that I would like to hear some people discuss on that, because if you want to be malicious, you're not going to get any protection to be malicious. Why don't you let people live their lives? And this is my concern. People should be allowed to live their lives as they see fit. And this discrimination and all the things that are happening to make people's lives miserable, I don't agree with it. The other point I want to make, David, and this you can deal with this one. You are constantly making known a scripture that said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've listened to you, and on more than one occasion, I hear you quote the scripture. But I want to tell you this morning that you don't have to remain short of the glory of God, because Jesus has died on the cross so that glory that you became short of can be straightened back out. And I would like to hear you respond to me with that.
To say what? That's a statement of fact.
Yes,
it is based upon your faith at the end of the day. If you, in your own experience, believe that you can be brought to a place where you are cleansed of your sin,
yes,
and you are able to live a fresh and new life,
yes,
in Christ, then that's the way that it is for you.
For me, what about you?
Well, if I went in that direction, it would become the same thing for me.
But you haven't gone there yet?
No, I am not there yet.
But David, don't let it be too late, you know. It can't be done after you stop breathing.
But you know what? And suppose I don't believe exactly what you believe.
But you see,
one of the wonderful things about our existence is this, that I really have absolutely no intention of imposing my beliefs on you. You understand that?
Okay.
And therefore, I feel you should respect mine as well.
But then I respect you, but I'm asking you.
But at the end of the day, that's my personal choice. Pardon me? Share it with you, not here. But this program isn't for that.
Okay, I share mine all the time.
But this program isn't for that.
The last thing I want to say, I did watch Spiduma, you know.
As usual. I find that you end up with a certain degree of conflict. We've been through this before. The degree to which you espouse a certain set of values and stuff, but on the other, in the eyes of many of the people who may be in church with you, they may consider that it is that you're running foul of the values that you espouse otherwise. But you know, again, you know what that comes right back to? Choice. This is down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air. We're coming right back. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Hello, hi. Good morning to you, David.
Yes, morning.
How are you doing, man?
I'm okay.
I got 2 points to raise. Well, I want to engage you in two little discussions here.
Mm-hmm.
A two-part questionnaire for you, really. And it's all to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all to do, well, when I say you, because you is the person that set the agenda for me to speak on. Let me start with this morning, with your opening. Well, not your opening remarks, but your remarks from Prime Minister Motley.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years ago, or just over 5 years ago, when I decided to break ties with the Democratic Labour Party and hitch my wagon on to Mayor Chariot, I didn't expect this. I didn't expect that. I thought it would be samey, life as usual, different name Bannon, but the show, you know, the script go up. But Miss Motley, Prime Minister Motley, demonstrate to me in every aspect of my expectations that she, you know, in for the long haul. I mean, when on the thing there with the representative that went up to New York and England, so it would appear, as the SSA representative, you know, to solicit or to get a good deal in terms of trucks to service Barbados. And every step of the term, they see some local private interests at these meetings. Miss Motley said, no. When she get wind of the thing, come home.
Yeah, but there's still questions now. You remember, they've come home. Mm-hmm. There's an urgent need for the trucks. We don't have the trucks. And the question is, in these circumstances, how are we going to try to get around what has been exposed here? That there is obviously the private sector interests seem to have been so well entrenched that they knew what government was doing every step of the way. Yes.
Yeah. You know, and I am so impressed. I am so impressed with Ms. Motley's style of governance that you could never start to imagine. Look, David, last week I listened to Parliament and I listened to young Humphrey, Minister Humphrey, Kurt Humphrey, and he actually, this is what Humphrey said: I will not be entering any discussion with anybody on government business unless my PS or a representative of the ministry is in the room. How more transparent you could get out of government, David? And this thing...
The Prime Minister has committed the ministers to this approach.
Yeah, no, and I really don't want... even though I've been raised this, I hope that nobody don't go off on a tantrum with this here. Even with young Bradshaw this morning in her discomfort, her personal discomfort, I really don't want that to be a talking point. I mean, this is transparent, man. This is government operating at its highest optimum, David. And I'm saying if it continue like this, the end result only could be good. Only could be good. So I want to wish this new government well, and I hope that they continue on this path that they're going. Let me talk now to something else, unless you want to add something else, David.
No.
Good. Last week, Friday, you finished off the program, Mr. Charles and Ryan Braffitt.
Yeah.
And it left me up here. It left me up here, a simple-minded person that knows nothing about real estate. Sir Charles, it left me with the thinking, and I sure many others that think like I think, Sir Charles gave their land that didn't approve by current country planning for subdivision.
That's what came out of the whole exercise. Yeah.
That's what Sir Charles did?
Yeah.
I mean, how low could you...
How low? Okay, but let me ask you something.
That is a low blow, David.
Let me ask you why it is a low blow.
Because I am saying to you, if it was a parcel land somewhere in the Hickeys with only a house spot or only a parcel of land, just one piece of land, I could understand that. But when it is in a big area where you're hoping to get some planning approval to subdivide this whole parcel of land, I think that's a low blow.
But why?
I think that you try to lock the government into a deal. I think so. Didn't you say it the same way?
It has that appearance, but at the same time, there are those who will say to you that to be able to get land anywhere in Barbados without having to pay for it is an opportunity as well, whether it has approval or not. Now, the question is, if you do not get approval based upon where the land is, then what are your options? Because if it is agricultural land, and for whatever reason the authorities do not believe that they should give you the approval that you're seeking, then you are left in a bit of a bind. Of course, you can also look at it this way. The land must have a value. It could be sold. You could sell it, and you can go and purchase land elsewhere. But the appearance on this occasion, I don't think that it looked as positive as it should have been.
And,
yes.